In your bulletin, find a sermon outline, if you would, if you're listening online. They are downloadable on the website, so it's going to be always way easier to follow. Many of the passages that we will refer to today are in the bulletin, but due to saving trees, we didn't put in four more pages, so there might be some that aren't there, but at least you can jot down the references and go to them. I typically not real sure what passages I'm going to use. My head's filled with about 4 hours of stuff when I come up. That might be obvious. So not real sure what we're going to get to, but we're going to try to get through the passage today that'll finish the book of Ephesians, except for a big idea thing that we're planning to do next week out of the whole book of Ephesians. All right, let's pray together if we could. Thank you, Father, for the great grace that we enjoy, this marvelous privilege to be able to be together, to be able to worship in open fashion, and to be able to declare your word without concern, at least at this time of intervention, freedom to totally share your word clearly. And we pray that the intent of this passage in historical biblical context and the context of today's world, your heart, that it would be made clear and compelling. Thank you for this great privilege to join you in prayer and to know your presence in the midst of the battle that you have spoken about in the preceding verses. Have your way in us, have your way through us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage preceding this, really part of the same passage, this is very much tied to the preceding passage, has these four commands in it. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following. If you have your outline from last week or you have a Bible with you, you'll find these four commands this passage. Verse 10 and following. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. All right, so after going through this incredible salvation that we have and the privilege to experience and live out this salvation as a community together in this world, he closes down this letter with a understanding of the world in which we live. It's not everything as it appears in your marriage, in this church, in this community, on this globe. And there are such a thing as fallen angels, but greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And we're going to talk about that today, that fact, that beautiful concept and truth that God, the God that created the universe, is with us and desires our communication with Him in the midst of battle. But setting up the passage we'll look at today, verse 10, be strong in the Lord, the strength of His might. So we've got to buck up. At the same time, He gives us the strength and the guidance in the battle. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. And goes on to list the six pieces of armor that we are to live with all day, every day. And then verse 14, the last two pieces of armor, he has this command, this imperative, stand firm therefore. And then verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now I give you those four as commands because working out of the Greek text, some really good versions will have it this way. Others tend to mix up what we call participles and imperatives. You know, this isn't seminary class, I know, but I'm just trying to give you the breakdown of the passage clearly. Those are the four what we call imperatives or commands in the passage, which includes our passage today. All right? So four commands: be strong, put on the armor, stand firm, and take up. All right, everybody got it? All right. Now, working off of this, we have the words we're looking at today, praying and being on the alert. They're written in verse 18 as imperatives, but they're participles. It's not, they have the power of commands. They are commands, but they play off of take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Or they play off of all four imperatives that we've looked at: be strong, put on the armor of God, stand firm, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Really playing off of all of those, quite frankly, as far as meaning goes. All right? So the point of that is verse 18 and 19 are tied to this previous chapter we looked at, this previous passage we looked at last time. All right? So as we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we are to be praying and we are to be being alert. Everybody got that? Okay, all right. Again, it's not seminary, I know, but it kind of matters. This ties to this passage. So part of the warfare that we're to fight, in simple words, is praying and being alert. Praying for what? Being alert for what? Well, we're going to talk about that, but we are to be praying, we're to be being alert. So it's not just enough to buck up and be strong, not just enough to put on the armor, but we need to be praying and being alert with wearing this armor. Maybe the illustration in today, they wouldn't have understood it in Paul's day, I don't think, but today it would be, in warfare, and this is, it's kind of weird to compare anything to actual physical military warfare, as horrific as that is. Some who've been in the military tire of hearing any comparison to that, and I get that. But I want you to consider that when you think of the gruesomeness of military warfare, as horrific as that is, I want you to consider that the stakes are way higher when we're talking about heaven and hell forever. Okay? Those are high stakes. And Satan is gruesome, and he wants to do gruesome moral things in your life and in your family, and God wants to do wonderful, pure, beautiful things in your life and in your family. And there is a war. There's a fallen nature on the inside, Ephesians chapter 2, and there's a satanic advertising. He can't get us to do anything. Demons can't get us to do anything, but they can advertise, they can entice, and we've got to be awake to that. And so in the midst of this, an illustration here would be, why are we praying as we're battling? Well, it's kind of like, if you're a soldier on the ground, group of soldiers on the ground, it's very nice to be able to communicate to headquarters back in, however that works, back in Tampa or wherever, and call in a little air power every once in a while. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the communication. God's asked us as we fight the battle, call in the air power, and that would be the power of heaven. And the Lord's got the ability. We got some amazing missile capability, the laser guided missiles and the like. It's kind of an amazing thing. Fly a missile from wherever, through a window. I mean, it's incredible to think about the blessing that God's given to us in this technology. But God's even more accurate. Okay, He can blow up. He can take care of whatever it is that's not going to be for our benefit, and yet He allows painful things that, as painful as they are for our benefit. Talked a little bit about that last time. All right, so this is the calling in of air superiority, heaven superiority, through communication. That communication we call prayer. By the way, we don't say our prayers, all right? That's like saying stuff to my wife. I have a script and I say stuff. Is that weird or what? We don't say our prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, pray in this manner, pray with this outline. Here's a good outline to use. That's the Lord's Prayer. But He never said, pray these words. He especially never said that, pray them over and over again. He says right before that, vain repetition is like ugly in God's sight. Okay? So we speak to God. Most of prayer is listening to God. Amen? So we're to pray without ceasing. We're going to look at that in a moment. Most of that is listening, always being aware of the voice of God, always being aware of the voice of central command. Amen?
Okay? All right, so with that kind of that weird illustration, let's get into this thing. Verse 18. With all prayer and petition, what does that mean, all prayer? Well, probably all kinds of prayer. We'd be praying at all times in the Spirit. Talk about that in a moment. But with all prayer, what we have, most of prayer is listening. Most of the communication you need to have with your spouse, by the way, is listening, all right? And with others, okay? Where there's many words, sin is unavoidable. You know, so we got to be listening. So most of prayer, it's just prayer is conversation with God. All right, that's all it is, beginning and end of story, just conversation with God. Most of prayer is listening. That's one type of prayer. Prayer is also worship, another type of prayer, that we all day long, every day, whatever we see, the sunset, the, you know, somebody actually, you know, obeys the traffic rules, whatever it is, somebody actually drives the speed limit. You know, all it's worshiping God all day long. Everybody good? Okay, we're worshiping God no matter what is going on. All right, flat tire, still worshiping God. Thanksgiving, thank you, I have a car that I could have a flat tire, okay? You know, so Thanksgiving all day long, okay? Not just babbling stuff, but just when a word of worship, a word of adoration, a word of thanksgiving comes up, we're speaking that to God all day, every day. Another thing, confession. As God convicts your heart about wrong thinking, there's a time of confessing that before God. God, I'm sorry, I got mad. I'm you know, going over the deep end here. Thank you for your conviction, pulling me back. All right, these are forms of prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a good outline of things that God wants to talk about. What does God want to talk about? Well, Jesus says when you pray, this is found in Matthew chapter 6, for example. Jesus says when you pray, pray in this way, our Father. So we address God as Father. He is a holy Father, but He is Father. He is close. So we address Him as Father. Our Father who art in heaven, you got a really good perspective, way better than me, way better than my perspective. First request is, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? May your name be set apart. God, all day long in my thinking today, may I set apart your name. May I never say, oh my God, and things like that. That's a horrible sin. May your name, your character, your person be set apart in my thinking. May you be honored in every thought that I have. May you be honored in the thoughts and the words of others as well, and in our society. A lot to pray about there. And so that's the first, that's the great request that we are making. Your kingdom come. That's a prayer of evangelism. God, guide me in sharing the gospel all day long, looking for opportunities, always having tracks in my pocket, always open and ready to share the gospel. God, may your kingdom come into the hearts of people that I'm talking with right now. Your will be done. God, what's your will all day long? Shoot me your will. Have your will done, Father, in my boss and other people, in my neighbors. You know, as you're thinking about people, may your will be done in my life and in their life. Give us this day, plural, us, not just me, not mine, I got a good bank account. No, give us. And so we pray about hurting people around us and globally. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us. Us, plural, not just me. Daniel prayed for the nation, you know, for God to bring conviction and forgiveness to his people. And many others have prayed the same way, and we are too as well. So it's not just forgive me, convict me, but forgive us, Father, as we think about the direction of America, as we hear things, you know, flip on NPR or something for a little bit, you know, as you're driving, and there's a lot to pray about, I can tell you. Forgive us and lead us. Not just me, but all of us. Guide us, lead us into what is good and right and honorable and for the advancement of your kingdom. There's some stuff to pray about, isn't there? And in all of that, it's mostly listening, okay? So that's the big idea. When he says, with all prayer and petition, petition is request, with all is all kinds of conversations, topics that we have with God in conversation. Everybody good? All right, that's what we're talking about, all right? So in the midst of battle, we're always communicating, which is mostly listening. With all prayer and petition, praying, and I am sorry I didn't put in parentheses the ING, but I should have helped the translators a little bit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. What does at all times mean? I think it means at all times. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I looked it up in Greek, and in Greek, by the way, it means at all times, okay, just always, all the time, all your waking hours to be praying. You say, well, how do I do that? We practice the presence of the awesome presence of God all the time. All the time, we're practicing the presence of God. We're aware, no matter what else is going on, God is present. Is that not a game changer in everything? God is very tempted to get tacked off at my wife because she did it again, and God is very present. And he is awesome. And he's Father. And he's her Father. Right? Okay? So it's just practicing the presence of God at all times in the Spirit. What does that mean? Oh, that means tongues, right? We immediately go, like, why do we do that? There's one passage that might lend itself to that, but every other passage wouldn't. Let me just lay out a couple of passages for you. We're going to take most of our time on this little section, and then we'll fly through the rest of it, okay? Just of note, and this is most of these passages are in your sermon outline. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This is kind of giving us some undergirding for what is on Paul's heart when he says this, all right? So verse 13 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, you, Christian, were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. When we pray, we don't need to shout. It's not like you're having to get through to heaven, because heaven is on the inside of you, believer. Okay? That's a huge concept. Don't need to shout. Don't need to think there's an iron door getting into heaven. Got to shout around it. That's a foreign concept. The biblical concept for believers is God lives inside of you. He is sealed on the inside of you. He's not the same as you. You're not God. You're not talking to yourself. But he is very, very present. You are sealed. He is in, you are in him. He is in you. You are sealed forever together. We can talk quietly and we can listen quietly. All right? That's the big idea there. We're sealed in him. Verse 16 of chapter 1. Paul's example, he gives an example of prayer in chapter 1 and in chapter 3. Chapter 1, this example, I'm praying for y'all in Ephesus as I give thanks for you, and I'm praying that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. I want God to really reveal himself to you in three special ways. I want, verse 18, I want you to deeply know the hope of his calling, where things are going in your life. I want you to know the riches of his inheritance, what you're going to get one day as you struggle and strive for the nickels and dimes here. Focus on the future a little bit and the surpassing greatness of his power. I want you to experience, you folks in Ephesus, I want you to experience the greatness of the power of God at work inside of you. How do we pray for one another? That's a good example how we should be praying for one another. You want to know how to pray for me? Pray that. That Ed would know and experience the power of God to overcome this horrible fallen nature on the inside. These horrible habits that have been developed in past years. May Ed know the power of God to truly love his wife, to truly love this congregation, to truly love the worst of lost people. May he experience the power of God over his flesh and over demonic advertisement. That's a great way to pray. Great way to pray for one another. All right, so that's chapter 1. In chapter 2, we have these words. Verse 6. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Is that amazing? We're in Christ. Christ is in us. We're here. He is here. We're there. He is there. We are together. And then chapter 2, verse 18, all of us have access by one Spirit. There is pray in the Spirit, by one Spirit to the Father. All of us have access to him because of the cross, because Christ is on the inside of us. Verse 20, all of us are being built into a holy temple, a dwelling of God in the Spirit. What is that? What do you do in a temple? You pray. All of us are the temple of God, inhabited by the Spirit of God. Again, we don't need to shout. What is it to pray in the Spirit? To know that we're the temple of God and that God is very present. Chapter 3, verse 13 and following. This is his second recorded outline of what he prays for these folks in Ephesus. He goes, verse 14, I'm bowing my knee. And I pray that you would be strengthened with power through his Spirit. There it is again, in the inner man. What is it? To know the presence of God, to listen for the presence of God speaking to us. All right. So to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. That's where he left off in chapter 1. What else does he pray for these folks, giving us an example of what to pray for one another? Not just to know the power of God, but look, verse 17. That we want to know the power of God, that Christ can dwell in us, to do because Christ doesn't like flesh, sin, that Christ can be at home in us. Why do we want that? So that we can know the fullness of the love of Christ. Christ is at home in our hearts. We can experience the fullness of his love. Well, why do we want to do that? That we be filled to all the fullness of God. That's where we should be living, filled with God. And that's what he goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 18. We need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. What is it to pray in the Holy Spirit? Just over and over and over again. In this book, we are told it's to practice the presence of God dwelling within us. Does that make sense? That's what it is to pray in the Spirit. Listen. Be filled, and in chapter 5, verse 18, don't get drunk with wine. In other words, whenever you take some alcohol, but whenever you come to the place where you're not able to hear the voice of God as you pray, and you're asking for his guidance, always to be filled is, God, I want to hear your guidance all the time, and I'm saying yes before you ever give it to me. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. I say yes before you give me your guidance. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. That's what it's because it's a command. God indwells us, but he commands us to be filled. And how do you know you're filled? The ensuing verses teach this. We'll be speaking to one another using scripture. We'll be singing to God in our hearts. Spirit of worship, spirit of encouraging one another, spirit of worship. We'll be giving thanks in all situations, and we'll be being subject to one another as we've talked about. Every person knowing subjection to other people and to God. That's the sign of being filled with the Spirit. That's the result of prayer in the Spirit. Everybody good? And then we go into our passage regarding spiritual warfare and in all of life, including this whole spiritual warfare thing, we need to be in communication with God. A couple of passages I've thrown out to you. One is Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. We need this is written at the same time as Ephesians, probably carried to a city called Colossae. In the letter to Ephesians was carried to the church in Ephesus. They're not far from each other by the same guy, by this guy we're going to meet in a few minutes. And he words the same thing: be devoted to prayer, keep alert in it, and praying at the same time for us. And I'm not going to read the rest of that because it's the same as what we're going to read in Ephesians. It's the same request. So when you call, when you got some big thing on your heart and you call this church and you ask for prayer and then you call another church, is that overdoing it? Not according to Paul, because he gave his request to the church in Ephesus and he also sent his request to the church in Colossae. Maybe he was thinking, what, I'm going to fall down on the job and not pray. Maybe, but the point is, there's an example set. It's fine to do that. So if you're in the habit of doing that, keep it up. That's a good thing to do. Romans chapter 8, just jot it down, not in your outline, but Romans chapter 8 said, those who are saved set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Those who are lost set their mind on the things of the flesh, the fallen nature. The mindset of the flesh is death. The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. What is it to pray in the Spirit? To set your mind on God. Speak to me. Guide me. Give me impressions of what you want me to pray for, what you want me to say and do. Verse 13 of chapter 8. By the Spirit, we are putting to death the deeds of the body, the fallen nature. Verse 14, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What is it to pray in the Spirit? To be led by the Spirit of God, listening for His voice. How do you know His voice versus the voice of your conscience? As long as it lines up with the Word of God, it doesn't matter if it comes from your conscience or the voice of God, because He uses both. He wants our minds to be renewed. He wants us to think. He also wants to speak. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. All right? And then chapter 8 is in your outline, chapter 8, verse 26. And this is a good word on prayer. The Spirit helps our weakness. See if you can identify with this. We don't know how to pray as we should. Hello? Like ever? Like, you know, we make our requests known to God from our perspective, and that's good, and we should be doing that. At the same time, what's the ultimate prayer of faith? Your will be done, because I can't get the big picture now and down the road. So, I'd love for a total healing from my friend from this cancer, total healing. Now, I'd love for that to happen. That's my request. But the prayer of faith is, I don't know the big picture. Does that make sense? And so we trust Him for the big picture. But we know that we know that we know God can completely, boom, like that, cure from cancer or whatever other ailment there may be. And so we pray, but we don't know to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. What is it, praying in the Spirit? God's Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I've used this illustration, I think, in the past. When I watched, a son, Ryan, play quarterback against Manatee High School, and, like, the Manatee High School guys were, like, four times bigger than his team guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they just ran straight. Ryan had to get the ball and just run, book one way or the other. There's no pocket, And I'm groaning, I'm on the sidelines just groaning that he gets the ball off and that, but eventually the Manatee would win because that's my alma mater, you understand. But at the same time, I want my son to live through the game, okay? And that's how we grow, right? You've been there, all right? I've seen you little league people with soccer of all things, little league soccer, groaning to, will that ball in the goal, right? Okay, yeah. So the Holy Spirit's groaning for us with groanings too deep for words. That's the heart of God for us. Take that home. Really, really look at that. God's into you. He wants the best for you, and He prays with groaning. That means the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are talking to each other about you with groaning. They care. Grab a hold of that. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, pray without ceasing. Practice the presence of God all the time. And everything gives thanks. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you'll overcome the desire of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What is it to pray in the Spirit? To pray listening for the voice of God. There's one passage, I'm looking at the clock, I don't have time to go through this, but I'm just going to give it to you by way of honesty. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse 12 through 19, just jot it down. Really, the whole chapter you want to get in context. You want to get chapter 12, 13, and 14 in context. And it's talking about a spiritual gift called tongues, but we're told at the end of chapter 12, not all speak with tongues, do they? And so in that chapter, we're told not everybody does, but if you practice the gift, pray that somebody can interpret. And that's likened under praying with the Spirit. Again, I don't have time to get into that, unfortunately, but I want to jot that down. I want to give you that. So if you have a question about it, please get to me. I'd be glad to talk to you. Now we got to fly through the rest of this. All right? So verse 18, with all prayer and petition, talked about that, praying at all times, all of our waking hours, we're aware of the presence of God in the Spirit, the very presence of God filling us, guiding us. We're listening for His voice and praying and speaking according to what He wants to talk about and the way He wants to talk about it. So we have a deep awareness of the presence of God. And with this in view, being on the alert. So we are to be praying as we take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We are to be praying and we are to be being alert with all perseverance. And that's unrelenting persistence. A good translation of the Greek term. It's just one of the biggest terms he could possibly use for just that unrelentingness. being alert, staying awake, watching what's going on, not just in your life, and petition, that means making requests, for all the saints, so all the believers that you know, you're watching what's going on, not to criticize their lives, not to find something wrong with them and then make prayer requests to other people, or hello, right? But we're watchful in the lives of one another because we want to do battle for one another. That's what he's saying here. Being alert, persistently alert, not going to sleep because this is hard work, making petition for all the saints. That means we fight for one another in prayer. I thank the prayer groups that meet at various times in various homes and here. Thank you, prayer group leaders and those who are involved in prayer groups. It's huge. We do battle for one another. And thank you, life group leaders and ministry team leaders, for leading your teams and your groups in prayer, and persecuted church and missions team and other leading in prayer for globally, for the needs that we know around the globe. We fight for one another in prayer. All right, so that's verse 18. Verse 19, and pray on my behalf. So in the battle, it's okay to request help. Here's Paul, he could have said, well, I'm Paul, just give me your request. You don't need to pray for me because I'm Paul. I got it all together. I'm strong. But he's like, he's very transparent in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for example. Let me just give you this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, about our affliction. Now, he's writing to probably the worst church on the planet at the time. And he's still making requests, okay? I don't want you to be unaware, brother, of our affliction. And he was being given a hard time for kind of being a wimp. And yet, he's really transparent and honest. 2 Corinthians is one of the most fascinating letters in the Bible. I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction. He knows that some of them are brethren in the church, a lot of them aren't, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. We despaired even of life. We thought we were going to die. We were in despair. Well, Paul, you're like Jesus, man. You can't be in despair. You got it together. No, we were in despair. And I want you to be aware of that. Things were really hard. And I'm just letting you know, things were really hard. They might get really hard again. And we were in despair, and we just want to be honest with you and let you know. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. We thought we were going to die. Now, God worked this that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Again, kind of implying that we might have died, but God would raise us if we did. And he yet will deliver us, you also. Now, listen to this. God will deliver us through these difficulties, you also joining in helping us through your prayers. God's going to do it, but you're helping by praying for us. How does that work? This is the mystery of prayer. And some of us, we flake out. And we go, you know what, y'all are always talking about the sovereignty of God and how God's going to use difficult times and nothing's going to, you know, for your good, and nothing's going to overtake you that God's not going to use for good. And, you know, y'all are so confident in the absolute sovereignty of the control, the power of God. Why should I pray for anybody? God's got it. I get that. And I have the same attitude to this day. Like, okay, I got... four possible things I could do with my time right now. Why would I pray when God's got this thing? Hello? And I know everybody here is with me. Okay? We are. And so the answer to the question for me is the passage. The passages that call us still to pray anyway. And then the mystery of this, God will deliver us, but you will help us through joining us through your prayers. How does that work? I don't know. But we're a family together. He's the Father. And God wants us deeply involved, agonizingly involved in the lives of one another through prayer. Part of the conversation, not left out of the conversation. Think about it any other way. What if God communicated to us, y'all, I got everything. I got this. You really don't need to be thinking about each other. You don't need to be praying for each other. Because I got everybody. Everything's good. What would our lives be like? Again, think about that. If most of prayer is listening, what does God do when I agonize for a brother? He's working in my heart, guiding me into my little part in ministry and joining him. And maybe I can't do anything whatsoever, but still joining him in this whole thing of taking care of my brother. And that's true of the persecuted church and our missionaries and whatever else we're involved in. So if you're like me, wrestle through this passage, all right? Verse 19, pray on my behalf that utterance might be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Paul, you've been sharing the gospel for years in all kinds of harsh environments. Who is going to be sharing the gospel? By the way, he's got a chain on. He's under house arrest in Rome facing the death penalty. Okay, always chained to a Roman soldier. So who's he going to be witnessing to? Wait, I know, a Roman soldier. Oh, yeah, that would be. And those guys, you think they're going to, I hear preachers talk about, well, Paul's got a captive audience. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He's just going to witness this guy all day long. Think about that. That Roman soldier has the ability to beat you to a pulp. Slap you around until you're shut up. Right? With no recourse. So think about how tough that would be. And yet read Philippians chapter 1, about the middle of the passage, and you'll read about Roman soldiers, the Praetorian Guard, some of them coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. So he was doing it. But I think that would be, I'd be tempted to, like when you're at your dentist. Like, I've never witnessed to a dentist before. I'm scared, okay? So I get it, okay? I have a Christian dentist now, but I've just never done it, all right? So I get, somebody can inflict pain into you. I mean, think about that. Who else is going to be witnessing to? Well, the end of Romans chapter 28, end of Acts, when he got to Rome, Acts chapter 28, he's witnessing to Jewish leadership who had the ability to stir up Roman leadership and make life really rough for him. And yet he continued to witness to them. And he's witnessing to whoever else he can see while he's there. And he's going to be witnessing to who? The emperor. Who's got the ability to go like that, and you're dead. All right? So you get it. So Paul's going, he sees him, but he's still praying. What's he praying for? Not a better life and happiness and a new car. He's praying, pray on my behalf that utterance might be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness. The word for boldness, it's an openness that comes from confidence in God. Just an openness to share, not holding anything back. That might make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. What's the mystery of the gospel? He spent chapter 2, verse 11, all the way through chapter 3, talking about the mystery of the gospel, that we are all one in Christ, Jew and Gentile, everybody one in Christ. All of us are united to Christ. Christ is in us, we're in Christ, and we're all in Christ together. That way there's no differences in the church due to class, due to race, due to anything else. We're all inseparably united to one another. That's the mystery of the gospel that he has hammered in chapter 2, verse 11 and following. And some people may not like that because of prejudice. So, want to make known the mystery of the gospel, and you've got to repent of your sins and surrender to Christ if you're going to be part of this family. For which I am an ambassador. In other words, he saw himself, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Paul saw himself as representing heaven. We should as well. In chains, that started back in Jerusalem, went to Caesarea, right on the coast. He spent 2 years in jail in Caesarea in chains, then got on a ship in chains, and then was taken to Rome in chains, and now he's in chains in Rome, about a 2 year stay there before he sees the emperor. All right? He knows something about wearing a chain. All right? And so he goes, I'm an ambassador of heaven. I got a leg chain. And I got a rap sheet. And he had a pretty lengthy rap sheet. And in proclaiming it, I might speak, and there's that same word again. He asked twice. I can speak with boldly or with a confidence, an openness that comes from confidence as I ought to speak. That's how we share the gospel. Verse 21, that does kind of end that section from chapter 6, verse 10 through this point. Now, 21 is the close of the book, but it still is really, really united to this. Check this out. But that you should know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Now, what's going on? Here's my big request. It's hard sharing the gospel. I've been popped in the mouth a number of times, probably is what he's saying. It's scary. And so the number one request is, I want boldness in sharing the good news. Okay? But he moves beyond that in verse 21 and 22 going, yeah, there's some other things I'd like for you to be praying for me about. And so that you may know about my circumstances, how I'm doing. You know, I want you to know more details than just I want to share the gospel. Tychicus, that's the guy I mentioned. He's a guy that, why don't we have a kid named Tychicus? He's listed four times in Scripture, four or five times in Scripture. Every time, man, this guy's a dude, man. This guy is a great soldier for Christ. Like, nothing negative about this guy. You know, he could send this guy to replace Titus. You know, when Tychicus gets there, man, Titus, you go ahead and come and see me. You know, I mean, this guy, Tychicus, is that not a great name? Granddads, put it on the list. Make it happen. Okay, we need a Tychicus. You can do a word search on him, Acts 20, Colossians 4, Titus chapter 3, and then 2 Timothy chapter 4. Good guy. So Tychicus, he's going to take this letter back to the church in Ephesus, which would be a hard journey, by the way. But he's there with Rome, identifying with Paul. Could be picked up by the emperor, by the way. I want you to know about my circumstances, how I'm doing. The loved brother, the faithful servant in the Lord will make everything known to you. This guy's loved. He's a brother. He's faithful. Man, may that be me. May that be you. May we be seen that way by others. So verse 21, that you might know. Verse 21, he'll make everything known to you. Verse 22, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you might know about us and that he may comfort your heart. So three times, I want this guy he's going to deliver this letter, but I want you to listen to him so you can know about our circumstances, know about how I'm doing, and that you can receive comfort from this guy. It's the Greek word for help. He will help your hearts. You're concerned about me, maybe some other things. He's a good minister. He'll help you to understand. All right, so verse 21, 22, what's the big idea? We want to know about each other so we can fight for each other. We want to know about each other's circumstances. It's a good thing. It's not macho to say, well, nobody needs to know about me because I, you know. It's good to share what's going on. So in the hallway, it's pretty tough. We're going to class, you know, we're going to different life groups and whatever. But when there is a moment to truly just kind of stop with a brother or a sister and go, how are things going, with the intent to remember the big ideas, the weighty things, and to bring that home and to do battle for one another in prayer, that's a good, healthy thing. It's good for a church to be that way. Amen? Or to listen intently in our life groups or prayer groups or wherever, ministry team groups, okay? It's a good thing to share about how we are doing. Last couple of words. I know we're at time or near it. By the way, Jesus, just a thought, Jesus is going to a cross, and in Gethsemane, he's got his arguably three best friends, Peter, James, and John, right? And he asked them, as he goes to pray right before going to the cross, he knows what he's going to be doing. What does he ask them to do? To pray. Even Jesus asked his three best friends to live. And he had told them what he's going to experience. He had told them, they didn't get it, but he told them everything he's going to experience. He was really open with them. Told them everything. I'm going to go to the Jews, I'm going to go to the Romans, I'm going to get hung on a cross. And that's what's going down, boys. They didn't listen. And he wanted them, even Jesus. All right, so it's good for us to share. Last two verses. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We typically read these endings super fast. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible, in other words, unsubject to decay, a love that will continue forever. And so in the midst of the battle, he says, believers, I want you to know the peace of God. I want you to know the love of God. I want you to know the faithfulness of God. I want you to know the grace of God. And in the midst of the worst battle, believer, you are experiencing, if you're trusting Christ, God's peace. You have peace with God. It's not the punishing hand of God going on in your life. You have the love of God encompass you. You have the faithfulness of God with every detail of your life. You have the grace of God. Again, that's that unmerited love of God around you. And may we love this God. Love the Lord Jesus Christ with a love that will never fail. How can we do that? Because God gives us the ability to love this God that loves us so much. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the grace that we enjoy today. Thank you for this passage. Father, as we fight this battle that you allow for our growth and numerous other things, we know that praying and watching is a big part of this. You've given to us the weapons. You've given to us your presence, your power. But you ask us to join you in the battle through prayer, the wielding of these weapons through prayer, and through a keen, alert watching of what's going on in each other's lives that we might do battle for one another. Thank you, Father, for those in this church that are setting the example of this very passage and have for years. And some are just learning. Grow their number, Father, we pray. Grow their strength, we pray. We pray that you would, in your perfect way, guide us into a truly balanced, biblically balanced life, which includes doing battle in prayer for one another and includes always practicing your awesome presence with us, powerful presence with us, all of our waking hours. Guide us. We want to live filled with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, Christ came to hang on that cross to be punished for every bad thing you've ever done, thought, said. On that cross, he was punished in your place. If you will one day, including today, trust him, he died in your place after bearing the wrath of God. He was raised again. He is alive today after going into heaven, and he offers every person here the gift of eternal life. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough money. It is a gift. By God's grace, you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, so nobody can boast. And so, friend, if you've not trusted Christ for the gift of eternal life, I'm begging you, at the end of this time, everybody's going to be standing up and doing whatever they do. Come on down. There'll be leaders, female and male, watching for you. Let's get this right with the Lord. Don't leave today. And we're planning to go to the beach a little bit later, by the way, and baptize one. And we're glad to baptize you as well, as a picture of you dying to your old way of life
being raised to trust Christ as Savior. God bless each one of you, and God make you a blessing.